Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
And then it came down to just one game. A winner-take-all between the New York Mets and the Milwaukee Brewers. And before we get to this winner-take-all game, you always have to figure out why the hell we're here. And there's a lot of reasons why the New York Mets decided to kick us in the groin late last night. A lot of things contributed to one of the worst losses you'll see. We could get on the manager. We could get on his decisions with the bullpen. We could get on Maiton staying in the game, taking Manaea out, everything you want to get into. But to me, sometimes things are very, very simple. And this is related to tonight. The New York Mets needed to take advantage of the opportunities that were in front of them offensively early in this game. Three runs never was going to be enough. So for anyone out there that wants to accuse me, little old me, of holding the water for a certain slugger, of being the errand boy for a certain slugger, for growing his beard out in hopes that a certain slugger will get paid, I will make things crystal clear right now at 2:03 on a Thursday afternoon. Pete Alonso, wake up. Pete Alonso, we need you. Pete Alonso bouncing into a double play and tripping over your bat in the first inning cannot happen again. Pete Alonso coming up with a runner on second base and two outs in the fifth inning while nursing a 3-1 lead. You cannot strike out to Tyler McGill's inferior brother. Can't happen. So Pete Alonso, this is your time, big boy.
I thought you were going to go anti-Pete Alonso. That was still very positive Pete Alonso. That wasn't the hate that Pete Alonso probably should be getting from Met fans.
Well, before you continue,
that is Tyler McGill's older
brother. Doesn't matter. Inferior. Before Tiki continues, he just said something.
Go ahead.
The hate that Pete Alonso's getting from the fan base. You mean something like, I don't know, this?
I don't even call him Pete anymore. I call him number 20 because he doesn't even deserve to get called by his name. He's a bum.
Listen, here's the reality. Pete Alonso hasn't performed, okay? No one's denying that.
Well, they're not going to love you unless you perform.
But
what it comes down to.
But Tiki, they need him tonight.
Of course.
So we can bash
him
all day.
They need him all year.
Not really, because look at the position they're in. They're in a playoff, winner-take-all game. They've been able to overcome Pete's inability to get the big hit most of the season. Now they need him.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. But it's funny. You've been saying this, because every time you do this, going back a month, I just look at you cross-eyed and just say, what is that going to do?
What's what
going to
do?
It's not imploring Pete to be better. What is that going to do? Nothing.
Nothing we say is going to do anything. We're losers. We're sitting on the radio, calling sports talk radio, tweeting on social media. We control nothing. It doesn't mean we aren't going to say something.
I know, but it's just I feel like I've heard this so many times.
You have.
Pete Alonso has to do X.
Yes.
Or Nemo has to do Y.
Yes.
Or Jeff McNeil, even though he's no longer a part of the team right now because of injury, needs to do Z.
Yes.
It's they need to. But they're not.
And so what does that mean? It can't happen? Are you declaring Pete Alonso cannot have that big day?
I just feel like, as much as I hate to admit it, Sean might be right.
About what?
About winning game one, blowing game two, and meekly limping away in game three.
Is that your official prediction?
That's not my official prediction. My official prediction was that they were going to win one, lose two, and find a way to win it in three because they're gritty.
Right.
I like this team. They're gritty. They find ways. Francisco Lindor or whoever has to be the hero sometimes just is the hero and critical. It's happened all season long. Whenever they've needed it, they've gotten it. But it's not from Pete Alonso.
But it has to be now.
Why?
Because
why do you believe that? I think that's more of my question.
Oh, okay.
Why do you believe that this is going to happen when for the last month at least, probably longer than that, it's been Pete's got to do this. Nimmo's got to do this. And the only one that does it, and I think I said this, it's Francisco Lindor. He's the one that comes through.
Oh, Brandon Nimmo started to wake up. Brandon Nimmo got a big base hit the first inning yesterday.
Yeah, but they didn't win this game yesterday.
I understand they didn't win the game.
I'm talking about being hero. I'm not talking about playing well. I'm talking about, like, being the guy that wins the game for you or making the play that catalyzes the win for the yesterday. Jose Iglesias was that in game one. Who is going to be that consistently
Pete
for this
Alonso
team?
Needs to step
he
up
needs
and
to,
be that
but
guy.
He's not.
And you think he can't? Is that what you want to tell me?
I don't know.
Okay. I'm going to tell you why he can. Because you asked me, I'll give you the answer.
But I can't sit here and say Pete Alonso is going to come through because he just hasn't
done. First of all, I'm not predicting anything. I'm telling you what he needs to do.
Yes.
Because if
or
Pete...
What?
Or what? Have you not heard the Met fan base burn him from the stake, essentially?
And then will you jump off the Pete Alonso bandwagon?
What does that mean?
I don't know. Start throwing hate. Pete Alonso, you're a bum.
Well, no, I'm criticizing him.
Pete Alonso, I don't want you next year. Is that what's next?
I'm not worried about next year. I'm worried about tonight. And tonight they need Pete Alonso.
What if tonight doesn't happen?
Well, you're asking me a hypothetical.
Of course I am.
I thought you don't like hypotheticals.
You're throwing hypotheticals that Pete Alonso needs to do X,
no,
Y, and Z.
That's not a hypothetical.
Yes,
that's
it
a,
is.
That's a demand. That's a need.
Okay, then what happens if he doesn't meet the demand that
they're
you're laying
probably going to lose tonight?
Okay,
a
and
big,
then what?
A big
po- and then what? Then you're done with Pete Alonso?
Then I do an angry Rico Bronya.
And you're
then
done with Pete Alonso?
I didn't say that. I think
I'm just wondering why he won't like go all in.
What do you want me to say?
Go all in.
That I'm going to get rid of him?
I'm good with
it's,
Pete.
Because it's a convoluted question that doesn't, it's not worthy of a simple answer of if Pete
then,
goes over four, he can't be on this team next year. That's a stupid
then
opinion.
Don't demand excellence from him.
No, I'm demanding excellence because if he doesn't perform it, this team's going to lose. And I've said that to you all year. They will eventually get short-circuited if Pete Alonso doesn't step up. He hasn't had an extra base hit in a month.
Mm-hmm.
His defense continues to be great. I will put him over for that. He saved Lindor on two errors last night.
Right.
But Pete Alonso needs to step up. He needs to be a big boy. Last night, when he came up with first and third, one out in the first inning, he had a chance to end this series. Let's be blunt about it. Pete Alonso had a chance to end that series last night, and everyone's making a big deal over him tripping off the bat. Honestly, I think it was going to be a double play either way. It was a heartache ground ball to shortstop. It was over. But I think the imagery of him tripping on his bat looked awful.
Yeah.
So what I'm telling you is, I don't want to hear about the offseason. We can't have him back. He sucks. You know what? We'll have that discussion when the season's over. But for tonight, to win a winner-take-all game three, with all hands on deck, they need this man to step up. And I want to answer your question. You said, why do you believe that? Because I am so sick and tired of this false narrative that Pete's never gotten a big hit. It's never happened. It's a lie. Because 2 years ago when the Mets were in the postseason and they won their one solitary postseason game against the San Diego Padres, who hit the game-winning home run in that game in the bottom of the fifth inning? Nobody knows, nobody remembers, so I'll just tell you, Pete Alonso, he's capable of it. Pete Alonso's had big moments as a Met, okay? Has he done well enough this year? No. Has he lost a lot of money this year? Absolutely. Has he been awful over the last 4 weeks? Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not disputing that. But I'm also not tapping out and saying he can't perform today. He can't get a big hit today. I'm just saying they need him.
Yeah, you're just believing that it's going to happen. And I just don't think that there is ample proof this year. Forget against San Diego in 2022. This year that he's going to do that.
So if you believe that, Tiki, what are you going to do about it? You want to sit him? Want to bury him in the lineup? What do you want to do?
No.
If you don't believe he can perform.
No,
just...
I'm going to put my faith elsewhere. If I'm a Met fan, that's what you do. You're not sitting there waiting for Pete Alonso to be your hero. If he surprises you, fantastic, great, whatever. But he hasn't done it consistently enough. It's been other people. It's been Francisco Lindor, the true captain of this team. It's been...
Who has zero hits in this series,
right,
by the way.
Great, whatever. He got you here.
I get you. I'm just giving you facts. Don't attack me for facts.
He got you here. I'm not worried about this series.
Okay.
I'm talking about the big body of work for 2024. And Francisco Lindor undeniably has been the biggest piece for this Mets team.
Totally agree.
It's not even a question.
Doesn't change the fact he has zero hits in this series.
Okay.
I mean, that's not an attack. That's a fact. Keep going.
And it's it. It's not him. Give him against anybody else. It's just he's shown up when you needed him.
Yes.
Pete Alonso has not.
Yeah. And that's why they need him tonight. Because if the Mets journey is going to continue on, and so far it's gotten to this point, game three of the wild card series, if it is going to get to the ultimate destination at some point, maybe it's tonight, maybe it's next week. They need Pete to be Pete. And he hasn't been that guy all year long. Don't give me the numbers. Anyone who's watched him this year knows he has not been impactful. Mm-hmm. They need him to be impactful. Everyone else you mentioned, Tiki, has stepped up at different moments. Mark Vientos stepped up in game one. Jose Iglesias has stepped up all year. Francisco Lindor, you said it eloquently. He's the MVP of this team. He stepped up. Even J.D. Martinez, as much as we hate the guy, got a huge hit in game one. Jesse Winker has stepped up. Francisco Alvarez had a big RBI single in the second inning of this game. It is now Pete Alonso's time. And I'm not going to bore you with fake declarations on his future because it's irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, free agency is going to be determined by a lot of other factors besides what he does in a game three. So I'm not going to tell you he can't be on the team if he goes 0-4 or give him a 10-year contract if he goes 4-4. I'm talking about the here and now. This guy's been a Met since 2019. He has performed in big moments before. He is one of the most reliable sluggers in baseball, and they need his doofy ass tonight if they're going to survive this season. That's all I'm saying, and I'm begging him. Pete, if you're listening, this is your moment. Enough. They need him. Now, I commend him. As bad as he's been offensively, he's clearly not taking it out with him into the field. And that's great. He made a diving play in the Atlanta game where Edwin Diaz had a brain fart. He made two great scoops yesterday, saving Lindor from errors. I'm not saying that's enough. I'm explaining that, hey, fairly to him, he's not taking his awful offense out into his defense.
Right.
And I appreciate that. But they need him. He's capable of it.
That's obvious.
He's done it before.
That's obvious.
And they need him, Tiki.
It's obvious. I mean, you're just stating the absolute obvious, especially if they want to win this series, but even go deeper. It's you need your best players playing like their best, and he just hasn't been all that a lot of this season.
So would you drop him in the order?
No. I mean, and do what? That's the problem with dropping him in the order. Who are you throwing there?
Jesse Winker.
Okay.
Cheeky?
That's the problem.
No, I agree with you.
The options aren't vast. It's not like, oh, we got this guy just waiting. He's just waiting for his opportunity to be in the five hole or higher or whatever it may be. You just don't.
No, and I agree with you, and I want to go back to A-Rod, and I want to go back to Joe Torre, because that's the greatest example ever of dropping a guy in the order. Pete Alonso's a mess right now, and I was reading emails last night on the Rico right after the game, would you drop him in the order? And my answer at that moment, after the game emotionally, was whatever, fine, drop him in the order, who cares?
Right.
Well, I gave it some thought. It's stupid to drop him in the order, and I'll tell you exactly why.
Because you're
not
replacing him with someone better.
That's not even it, but I understand that point. Right. Like, oh, what's the difference if you're putting Starling Marte or Jesse Winker up there? Well, the difference is Jesse Winker's got this knack for big moments,
right,
and Starling Marte last night got on base four times. But here's the reason why I think it's a terrible idea. And Yankee fans, you feel this. Sean, you feel this. When I sat down that day in 2006, and yes, I was scoring the game, and I saw Alex Rodriguez batting eighth, I thought about it, and I said, what's the point of this? Like, what does this really do? And the truth is, all it did was embarrass a proud player.
Yep.
That's all it did.
Yeah.
It was naive to think. And I know Pete's not A-Rod. I want to make that very clear on a lot of levels. But all you're doing to a proud player by hitting him that spot in the order for the first time in his career is embarrassing him. Let's get some facts out of the way on Pete Alonso.
Good point.
He has batted sixth only one time year-wise in his career. It was all the way back in 2020 in that shortened season. Since then, 21, 22, 23, 24, he has never hit below fifth in the order, which is what he's hitting right now. Met fans, dropping him to 6 or 7 or 8 because we're angry at him serves no purpose other than embarrassing him on a national stage. And what does that do? Because at the end of the day, we need him. We can all agree on that. Tiki's right.
Yeah.
It's obvious that they need him. What I'm telling you is obvious. But dropping him in the order only gives you the blood that some of you bloodthirsty Met fans want. It doesn't solve anything. Just like dropping A-Rod to 8 solve nothing.
No, you're right about that. And Pete Alonso, I mean, here's the thing. Pete knows that he has to be better. He knows that he has to step up and be clutch because that's what he's on this team for. It's what he's been for the majority of his career. And it hasn't happened this year. And as an athlete, it's hard to go through like this part of the season and know that you're not at your best. And it's, I think, which makes it even harder for Pete is he likely doesn't know why he's not at his best. It's not like he's done anything different. It's not like his approach has been different. Maybe it has. I don't think it has. The results just aren't there. And sometimes when the results aren't there, you start doing things just to try to change it up. Think about all you golfers out there, all of us amateur, crappy terrible golfers. For, I don't know, a month, you're striping it. And then all of a sudden, you lose it. And you're like, wait, what am I doing differently? Let me try this. It just makes it worse. And so Pete's likely in that stage of his frustrations with himself. I don't know how to fix it, and so I'm going to try everything just to make it right. And that is the worst thing that you can do.
When we come back, we're going to get to your calls on Pete, on the Mets, their chances in Game 3. And I want you to hear from Pete Alonso, because Tiki's very good at this. You hear a guy speak, and maybe you can tell a lot more about what they're thinking. So we'll hear from Pete Alonso when we come back, plus your calls. It comes down to this, Met fans. One game. Are they going to the divisional series to take on the Philadelphia Phillies, or are we going to forever think about how they blew an opportunity in Game 2 with a lead in the eighth inning? 888-808-1019.
Ah, how we doing? We feeling all right? Are we nervous? I'm freaking nervous. I got to tell you. I went from angry, sad to nervous, Tiki. Those are the three emotions I've experienced since the Mets blew a game last night to the Milwaukee Brewers.
Mm-hmm.
Angry? At night, angry on the Rico, and then as I put my head down on a pillow, I got very sad. Very, very sad.
Sad?
Yeah.
Despondent?
Yeah.
Like, resigned to maybe this thing is already over.
Yeah. Then I got mad at the wrestling, because I put on wrestling for my son to fall asleep to, and it was the Attitude Era, and I'm like, oh my God, why are they doing that? So sexual. And I realized I cannot have the Attitude Era on for my 8-year-old son.
It's the world these days. Tracy took Brooklyn and Tegan and their friend Zoe to Sabrina Carpenter, courtesy of Mark Simone.
Ah.
It was great. And I said, because I was on the road. I was like, Trace, how's the concert?
Hmm?
She's like, it's like soft porn. I have to keep covering the girls' eyes.
What a world.
And they know every word. And I'm like, the world we live in.
What a world. Coming up in just a few minutes, I want everybody to hear from Pete Alonso after last night's performance, and we can judge if maybe he's pressing or what's going through his mind. But let's get to some of your calls. Mets lost for a myriad of reasons last night. Carlos Mendoza's bullpen management, but more than that, they did not hit. They scored 3 runs in the first 2 innings, and they missed golden opportunities to beat up the Brewers and take a bigger lead. Let's go to Chris in Bayshore. What's up, Chris?
Yeah, I just got a couple of points on Pete, if you could. I want to know when he became Doug Mankiewicz at first base. The guy's picking everything over there.
Right.
But the other thing is, too, I think that when you look at him and knowing him and seeing him for these years, he's just in his own head. He's just in such a psychological game. He just has no idea what's going on, and he looks totally lost.
But you know what, Chris, I thought that, too. I thought he's in his own head. But if he's in his own head, why is he thriving defensively? And I don't think this is a new thing for Pete defensively. I think this is, you know, something he's actually done all year. He just doesn't get enough fair attention on it.
Yeah.
But, if you are mentally beat up by the pressure and the struggles and you're pressing at the plate, wouldn't that naturally affect every part of your game?
Yeah, it would. But hitting is so hard, whereas fueling can become reactionary. You know what I mean? Like some of the digs that you see him grabbing, it's repetition. It just becomes reactionary. You're not thinking about it anymore. You start to figure out the angle that the ball's coming in and how you're going to have to dig it, or you get a better look at ball coming off bat, so you snag it out just in the foul territory like you did against the Braves. And so I think it's just one of those.
Because you're not thinking about it.
Because you're not thinking.
Yeah.
Whereas at the plate, you're just standing there like, all right, what's he going to throw me? Should I expect this? And all of a sudden,
right.
It's too late.
And then you're flailing at a slider in the dirt.
Yeah, so it's the hardest thing. We know this, and again, I'll go back to the golf analogy. As soon as you start thinking, you're bound to screw up.
Yeah.
And so Pete's maybe thinking too much.
Mm. Kendrick and Suffern, what's up, Kendrick?
Gentlemen, speaking of the Attitude Era, earlier this season, I was at the rock bottom game that Gary Cohen called as a doubleheader.
Yes,
nice.
And now tonight is going to be the attitude adjustment game for Pete Alonso, because as you boys know, I have been on the anti-Pete train for a long time. But tonight's a night where I think all Mets fans need to back this guy up and give him that positivity that Tommy has been pumping in to the Mets fandom all year that has gotten us to October. And if I am Mendy, this is how I handle tonight. I tell Pete, he walked into this season thinking he was carrying the money in the bank briefcase. In actuality, he is about 2 days away from opening that briefcase and Howie Mandel showing him a nickel. Because he did not take the deal that he should have taken.
Yeah.
But if I am Mendy, I tell him this, Pete, this is your moment. And I move him up to the two or the three hole tonight. Because those guys, two, three, and four, they've been moving around all playoffs in September anyway. So I also called earlier in the season, I said, you know, they should be positionless when it comes to the lineup.
Yeah.
And I think I give Pete that confidence. And in the first inning, when it's the top of the first, there's nothing to lose.
Yeah.
You know, if he comes up in the bottom of this, or excuse me, the top of the second, we're already down a run, then he starts to pass.
I think that's a great point. You know, Kendrick, I think that's a very, very good point. And Pete has hit a lot of two and three in his major league career. That wouldn't be new for him. He's done that this season. And maybe that's the way to do it, as opposed to just getting angry and saying, bat him eighth, pull an A-Rod. Because at the end of the day, if you're a Met fan and you're angry at Pete Alonso right now, that's fine. He's underperformed. We all know that. But we need him. And so calling up Sports Talk Radio and calling him a loser and saying he should bat ninth or he shouldn't play, that doesn't solve anything. That just makes you happy in the moment.
Yeah.
You have to find a way to unlock this guy.
Yeah, it's fun. It's like you want him punished for lack of production, but punishing him hurts you as well.
Yes.
So it doesn't do anything. And so the only thing you can do is, interestingly, what Evan is doing. You better. It's time.
That's
we
it.
Need you.
I'm threatening him.
It's all encouraging, but in a threatening way.
That's right.
It's all you can really do. Show up.
Pete.
Be there.
Pete, I'm going to tell you this right now, and I know this message will get to you. I grew a beard out of loyalty to you so that you would get a contract extension. And then, yeah, I cut it, but I cut it to try to spark the Mets. I have my reasons for it. I saved every hair off of that beard on that Memorial Day Friday. It's in a baggie. I've saved it. I put it right next to the ashes of my passed away grandmother. It's right there next to her.
I'm sure she's honored.
I think she is. I think she gets it, Pete. If you don't step up, I'm throwing the hair away.
By the way, how long do you keep ashes?
I think forever.
Forever?
That's forever, your question ever? On how long you keep something?
Forever, ever?
Forever, ever, ever, ever.
Ashes?
Yeah.
Shouldn't you, like, get rid of them?
So I got rid of some of Shirley's ashes. That was my grandmother's name.
Yeah.
It blew back onto my face when I threw it into the Atlantic Ocean down in South Florida.
So it's like going through your pores.
Yes.
And,
unfortunately,
and your nostrils,
some
your
of my
membrane.
Some of my grandmother got, you know, into my mouth as I was throwing it into the ocean. It was bizarre. Very weird, but whatever. What can I do? I didn't know that was going to happen.
Why do you keep the ashes?
So I didn't. My aunt, my wonderful aunt,
okay,
decided to keep all of the ashes of her mom, my grandmother. And she gave me some of the ashes. She gave my sister Stacy some of the ashes. And when my sister was getting married back in 2014, my sister said, let's go down in the ocean. She got married on the beach, beautiful wedding.
Yeah.
And she said, let's throw some of Shirley in the Atlantic Ocean. So I said, that's a great idea, but not all of it. So when I threw Shirley in the ocean, she came right back at my face.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Any other questions, Sean, before we move on?
I can see exasperation on Sean's face.
I'm stunned, but Tommy looks like he has to say something first. Go ahead.
No, what I was going to say to Tiki is people handle ashes differently. Some people keep the ashes in the house, like you saw in Meet the Parents. And then other people, like Evan, they sprinkle their cat's ashes at Gettysburg as cat freedom.
Yes.
So there's different ways of doing it.
Yes.
Well, what the hell are we doing? How is that Tiki and Evan's first thought is how long you keep ashes? The man has kept facial hair in a bag since May and put it on a mantle with dead Shirley.
Yeah, people do that all the time. Like when they
I'm a loser.
You were questioning the ashes first and the hair?
The ashes are just interesting. I've always wondered,
but at least it's
for people who keep ashes, like, why do you keep ashes? And where do you keep them? And what happens if something happens to those said ashes?
Shouldn't you
have just gotten rid of them?
I understand.
Because as soon as you burn somebody, the energy releases and goes and spreads throughout the universe.
But I guess it's like your place to visit them, like on a cemetery. But again, he kept the beard hair in a bag and put it on the mantle.
Well,
surely.
I'm telling you right now, Pete doesn't come through, the hair's gone. I'm going to flush it down the toilet. That's my demand.
No, then you're going to have to get a plumber, dude.
All right, fine. I'll bring it in. I'll give you the hair. You can do whatever you want.
Just throw it in the garbage.
Right, or drop it at the park. Just
no, you don't want to do that either. Your DNA's everywhere.
Well, let's hear from Pete Alonso, because Pete, after this game, and remember, Pete Alonso had an 0-for-3 game, a 1-for-4 game. We forget he actually had a bloop hit in the seventh inning with two outs and nobody on. A little broken bat bloop. That's how Pete gets base hits these days, by the way. Two outs and nobody on, and they're bloops. But obviously, the double play was the big one. He has not had an extra base hit in a while. So Pete was asked by Steve Gelbs, how do you feel at the plate, Pete?
Where do you feel you're at offensively right now?
Feel good, yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm taking pretty decent at bats. I feel really consistent. Just need to keep swinging, and good things will happen. Keep swinging at good pitches, and good things will happen.
Do you believe him?
Yeah, I feel like he's just answering to answer.
Mm.
Yeah, but that's Pete, though.
Mm.
Like, he's not going to get deep and contemplative.
So you think Pete knows he doesn't feel good at the plate, but he's not going to tell his arch nemesis, Steve Gelbs, that?
Yeah, well, it's not even that. It's just, I don't think he's not thinking about it.
Mm.
He's not like, why am I wrong? Let me go analyze all of my at-bats. And I don't, that just doesn't feel like what he's doing.
Well, that may be a bad thing, because when J.D. Martinez is struggling, he's studying the tape. Now, maybe Pete is,
yeah,
and that's just the facade he puts up, because he doesn't have to tell Steve Gelbs or us how he truly feels at the plate. He's just got to do it, and he's got to fix the issues. I admit, listening to Pete, that sounds like a guy who's shaky, and it does sound like a guy who's pressing.
Yeah, I mean, it's obvious, because why else is he not producing? And you know, it's been too long of a season to say it's the pressure of the season. It's the pressure of performing for his new contract. It's like, we're at a different stage.
Right.
We're at a different point.
Your regular season numbers are done.
It doesn't mean anything anymore. Like, who cares? Like, that's past you. And I just worry that Pete is not finding the answer. And he's not going to find the answer.
Well,
even though Met fans are imploring him to do so.
We are. He was also asked the obvious question, are you thinking, Pete, that this could be it for you as a New York Met?
Mm. Sort of emotions, if any, are attached to the fact that tomorrow could legitimately be your last game as a Met.
Yeah, I really haven't thought of it, because, I mean, my whole focus is just going deep in the playoffs. I don't really want to think about that at all. I want to think about winning the game tomorrow.
Is he thinking about it today?
I mean, yes, because you just asked him the question. I wasn't thinking about that at all. But now that you say so, I am thinking about it. Wow, this could be my last game as a Met.
I went back at him.
Of course you're thinking about it.
I went back out of morbid curiosity this morning to Jacob deGrom being asked the exact same question after he pitched game two against the Padres 2 years ago, a game that he won. He did not pitch amazingly, but he pitched well enough to get the victory. And Jake chuckled and said, it may have crossed my mind.
Mm.
And I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means DeGrom was like, I can't wait to get the hell out of here.
Yes.
or it was, yeah, I'm a legendary Met, and I'm a free agent, and there's uncertainty, so I'm a human, and of course I think about that. Like, I'm a human. If it was the last day of my contract at WFAN,
right,
would I not think about the possibility I'm not going to do a show here again? So when athletes, and you tell me.
Yeah.
I know you were never in the exact position that Pete's in, but that almost feels impossible.
Yeah.
Of course you have to think it. You're a human.
Well, I mean, only because I knew when my career was ending. And I think it's maybe because it was on my own terms. It was calmer. Right? It wasn't chaotic. And I had two of my best games in my last two games. One regular season, one playoff.
You controlled that, though.
Right, because I was in control of it.
Yes.
It wasn't like my fate and my future was up to some decision made by someone on high.
Right.
It was me.
Yeah.
And so there's something empowering about that. Maybe that's the trick. Is he just got to tell himself, I'm going, whatever happens next year, it's going to be my decision.
Yeah. He should just tell himself,
if I want to stay with the Mets, I'm going to take a lesser deal or whatever deal they all, and I'm going to stay with the Mets.
He should just tell himself he's taking the qualifying offer, and that's it. I got to win your deal.
I'm out of here.
Right.
So this is my last game. Let me give it my best.
Yeah.
Right? So when you leave it up to someone else, you feel like there's a weight, like there's a hand pushing down on you. And I was unencumbered by that when my career was over.
Mm. It feels like Pete Alonso is not unencumbered by it. He's very cumbered by it. That's the sense I get. Before we get back to your calls, here's the manager of the New York Mets, Carlos Mendoza, on Pete Alonso.
Pete, he's a power hitter, you know, and he's just one swing away from, you know, hit a big one. He's got another opportunity tomorrow, he'll step up.
Yes. He believes in him. He will step up.
I believe.
That's what Mendy said. He will do it. Positive Tommy. How many hits does Pete Alonso get tonight?
Pete Alonso goes 3-for-4 with a 3-run homer.
Oh, yeah.
Sending all positive vibes to Pete Alonso because we always have to have somebody we criticize, and there always has to be a scapegoat. And Positive Tommy's not about scapegoats. Positive Tommy's about uplifting the guys that have given so much to this franchise, and Pete Alonso's done that. So I'm sending all positive vibes, and I'm ensuring other Met fans to do that as well.
So you said 3-for-5 with a 3-run home run?
3-for-4.
3-for-4 with a 3-run
home run. With a 3-run home run.
Okay. Mm. Sean Morash.
0-for-4.
0-for-4. Mm. 1-for-3, a walk, and a double.
Well, that's very ambiguous. When does he get that double? Mm. Don't tell me it's with two outs and nobody on down 8-1 in the eighth inning.
I didn't say an RBI. So.
Well, leadoff double.
Leadoff double.
Yeah. I'm going to give you, and I think Positive Tommy's going to be happy with me here. I think Pete's coming through tonight.
Mm.
I really do. I have to believe in him because I don't believe he's just a dog. I don't believe he can't take the moment because he's taken the moment before. And so I do think, I don't know if they're going to win. I didn't say that. I think Pete Alonso, it's a home run tonight. I'm with you, Positive Tommy.
I believe in Positive Tommy.
Do you believe in me now, Tommy? Are you proud of me?
I am very, very proud of you, Evan. You're in good spirits today. We had a pre-show meeting. You're upbeat. You're positive. I love it.
Thank you.
I love it.
We all feel good.
I can't wait till that homer is down 5-0 in the eighth, and Evan rationalizes tomorrow. We're still a big homer because you know they had a chance to come back after that.
Well, notice, Sean, I didn't say when he's going to hit the home run. I mean, you're right, though, because that would be so typical. Like, they're down 7-1, and he gets a solo home run in the eighth inning, and that's what Met fans are ripping him for. I think Met fans aren't looking to rip anybody, Tommy. I don't think it's about they need a scapegoat. I think it's that all year long we've waited. To Tiki's point,
yeah,
all year long we've waited for that breakout. And anyone who's watched this team knows 34 home runs, 88 RBIs. It hasn't been as good as that. Like, he really hasn't had an impactful season. Mm-hmm. That's the way I like to describe it. It just hasn't been. You know, sometimes numbers don't tell you the whole story, and I think that the frustration builds off of a night like last night where he did come up with numerous opportunities, specifically the first and fifth inning with runners in scoring position, and he came up small. So I think it's letting out your anger on what happened last night and the missed opportunity that the Mets had.
All fair points, but you brought this up earlier, and I think it's important. He's been great in the field. Defensively, he's been great.
That's not enough, though.
I understand
that. I appreciate that, and I point that out because I want to be fair. He is not here to be Rico Bronya or Doug Mankiewicz. He's not. He's here to hit home runs.
Yeah,
I agree.
Just like that walk he had the other night, which I gave him credit for. It was a great walk before the Jesse Winker triple. He is paid to drive runs in. And going into a game in which the Mets have not hit a home run yet in this series, I'll make you this prediction. If the Mets are winning tonight, they got to hit the ball over the fence.
They need a home run.
Yes.
They're not going to small ball their way to victory.
Let's go to Junior in Jersey City. How are you, Junior?
What up, Junior?
How you doing? Evan, long time.
What's up, man? Thanks for calling.
I'm calling. Pete has great defense. We're going to miss that defense if we let him go.
Well, I'm not talking about letting him go. Why are we thinking about 25 when 24 is still going on? All right. Thank you, Junior.
You are thinking about it.
No, I'm not. Evan. I'm only thinking about how it impacts him right now. So when I play that clip of Pete being asked about next year, it's not about next year. It's about, is this bringing him down now when the Mets need him?
Then why'd you do the research on what Jacob deGrom said around his last game?
Because he was asked a question about it, and it was curious to see how he responded to it.
Yes, because you knew that Pete was going to get a similar one.
Right. I just think deep down Evan is thinking about it.
Why would I think about it?
Because you have fond memories of Pete Alonso. He's not providing. And I think that when you get ready for a game that could potentially end your season, you rationalize and put different things in different cabinets. And I think somewhere in that brain you are thinking about it.
I love Pete. I appreciate him as a Met. I swear on the baseball gods.
Right.
I have zero thoughts about the 2025 roster while they're playing game 3. The real question is, if they lose tonight, how quickly before I start thinking about 2025? That pivot may take a couple of days. It may take a few hours. I don't know. I'm a regular human being. I bleed like all of us. I can't tell you how I'm going to feel. But the idea that I care about, I don't care about next year. Too many Met fans and Yankee fans are thinking about next year. There's a playoff in front of you.
Damn right.
You're welcome.
I'm just calling you out on it.
There's nothing to call me out on. D.C. in New Jersey. What's up, D.C.?
Yes. I'd like to know whether or not you're going to take responsibility for the Mets losing yesterday.
What did I do to cause the Mets to lose, D.C.?
Well, you know, you spent so much time talking about Cheerio, and how many homers did he hit yesterday?
Damn it. So if you missed yesterday's show, just to explain DC's point, I received an email a couple of days ago about how Jackson Cheerio looks just like a young me, a young Evan Roberts. Mm-hmm. And I put it out on social media.
You gave him the mojo, dude.
I gave him the mojo? How about the fact the kid is awesome? He's a young 20-year-old budgeting superstar.
Yeah, but you feel like we're claiming him in a way. And so whatever mojo you had for the Mets transferred to him.
So you
obviously.
So you agree with DC that absolutely. Jackson Cheerio's two home run performance was sparked by me.
Or whoever sent you that stalking photo collage of you and him from your younger days with a goatee. Even though he's black and you're white.
Well, by the way, I've said this many times before. Just because someone has a different skin color as you doesn't mean you don't look alike. I think Latrell Sprewell and Mike Piazza look alike.
We're doing that again.
Well, but it's true. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I think Tiki and Rondé Barber look alike, too.
Yeah, right. That's more like look alike. Devin and Jason McCourty.
If that's true, and what she said is true, then I think I'm going to do my part to help you guys out tonight.
What, that Jackson Cheerio is the like me looking like Jackson Cheerio?
Yeah, talked about.
It sparked him to hit two home runs?
Evan, you look exactly like Pete Alonso.
I kind of do, don't I?
I think you do. I see the resemblance.
You know where me and Pete are very similar? First of all, we're both socially awkward. Okay? That's 1,000% true.
Claim it.
And number two, we would both totally trip over a bat leaving the batter's box.
Yeah, I mean...
You don't
get paid a lot of millions to do that.
What if I told you I've done it before? Would that make anybody feel better that me and Pete have done? And I'll tell you this is where I got to brag now. I've also made a lot of scoops bailing out shortstops' errors. Let me tell you that. Adam Eaton knows what I'm talking about. Played baseball with him. He knows. I saved his ass from errors because I was a scooper over there at first base.
That's one of Evan's friends, by the way. That's not a major leaguer.
No, it's not. Actually, it was. I keep the secret alive. Remember Adam Eaton? There actually were two Adam Eatons.
I know. For a second, I thought you were talking about that Adam Eaton.
Yeah.
And I was, he's talking about his friend.
Yeah, it's a third Adam Eaton. And that's not his real name. That's just his fantasy baseball name. And that's not the full fantasy team name. It's Adam Eaton and then another word.
Oh, he's Eaton. He's eating something.
Yeah, it's a word I can't use on the radio. Nice. I'll leave it at that. Let's go to Tony in Connecticut. Hey, Tony.
Hey, how you doing, Evan? How you doing, Thunder?
Oh, it's good.
What's up, man?
Hey, with Alonso, right?
Yeah.
I think the best thing for the New York Mets to do tonight is to bench him.
Oh, come on.
And I'm serious. No. This guy's a liability. Are you kidding me, Evan?
He's not a liability, though. He's good defensively. I mean, now you're going to stick Mark Vientos at first base? Is he making those two scoops last night? I'm being dead serious. Forget the bats for a second. Forget the fact that you think he's cooked offensively. I want to play a real game with you. If Mark Vientos is at first base, does he make those two scoops last night? I think the answer is probably not.
I think not.
So with
maybe one of them.
Maybe.
He just doesn't have the time. He hasn't had the time over there. So it's just hard to predict that that's going to be going to be as good as Pete Alonso, who's had many more games and hours there.
That's my point. So even the idea of, wouldn't you rather have Acuna? He's a spark. He's this or that. And maybe he gives you something offensively, which maybe he does. I think you already hurt yourself defensively. And I think that's a panic move. If Carlos Mendoza pulled that kind of crap in game 3 of a playoff game, he ain't made to be a manager.
Yeah.
Because that's a panic move.
Yeah. No, and I don't think he would do that. He's not going to do that.
No. But I appreciate the call, even though I just yelled at that guy, Tony in Connecticut. Seems like a nice guy, though. Just had a dumb opinion. That's all right. Let's go to not a dumb opinion, just how do I make it nicer? A stupid opinion.
A dumb person giving a dumb opinion.
No, I didn't say
that. Is that what you said? Oh, I didn't.
I didn't say any of that.
Ill-informed.
Yeah, let's go with that, Sean.
Just a bad opinion.
Yeah, you have a bad opinion. Boo. Let's go to Walt in New Jersey. What's up, Walt?
What's up, boys? Just driving through the Holland Tunnel. Hopefully I don't crap out of this fall at all.
Let's hope not.
Listen, I think I'm wrong, but I think he shot Pete Alonso. It was just weird to me the other night when they were celebrating Atlanta that I don't know if anybody brought it up. He was took that interview by himself while the whole team was outside celebrating. Maybe I'm looking too much into it, but I don't think he's a big positive guy in that clubhouse.
Well, I think he was probably asked to do that interview by the PR people, so I can't read into that. I get why you would.
Yeah, but he's
asked to do those things.
Also, we're now looking for other things. Like, Pete Alonso's an accomplished slugger in this sport. Pete Alonso hit a game-winning home run in a playoff game 2 years ago, even though no one remembers it. Pete Alonso's hit big home runs in his Met career, again, despite no one remembering it. What does that, even if your little theory about, you know, Pete's this weird guy who has no friends, let's just go with that. How does that impact anything about him slumping right now? It has nothing to do with it. They need a player who has proven himself over the last 5 years to be one of the most reliable sluggers in baseball to wake up. It has to happen. Because if it doesn't happen, I'm afraid tomorrow, the only thing Met fans are going to want to talk about is a guy who plays right field for the New York Yankees. And I'm not ready to do that.
Yeah. I mean, that's happening anyways, but...
Just
misguided hope. We got to replace our slugger with another one who happens to be across the city playing for the Yankees right now. But that's going to happen anyway.
Yeah, but I want that to happen like, I don't know, 2-3 weeks from now, tomorrow.
I think what you want is you want it to be a debate about which one you'd rather have. And at this point, it's not a debate.
I don't think there was ever a debate. And I love Pete.
Yeah,
Pete's a wonderful
right,
guy. But... It was never a debate. Never would that have ever even been a debate. Mm. Let's go to Danny in South Plainfield. What's up, Danny?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
I don't think I heard anyone mention the situation last night was second and third and two outs and the whole intentional walk situation. It looked like Lindor was like, hey, yeah, they sent in four pitches. Walk them. I'm like, Lindor, I want him to hold in the bat with two outs in second and third.
Well, okay, so the situation was there was second and third, two out after Alvarez topped out to the mound. And it felt like there was miscommunication between Pat Murphy and William Contreras and the umpiring crew on if they wanted to intentionally walk Lindor or not, which to me is a no-brainer.
Yeah.
As good as Jose Iglesias is, second and third, two out, down by a run, you're putting Lindor on. And so I don't think this was about Lindor not wanting to bat. I think it was more about the Brewers kind of being on the fence about if they wanted to walk him or not. And if they had signaled for a walk... And if somehow maybe Murphy said, no, I changed my mind, I don't want to do that, were they allowed to go back? It actually made me think of the whole Garrett Cole situation.
Huh.
Because no, it really did. Because
like, was Garrett Cole asking?
No, because...
Or was he asking his dugout, or was he actually saying walk him?
No,
now,
so
we know what he's doing.
He was asking for a walk, but if you remember, after that walk, Austin Wells, after the game, was asked about it.
Mm-hmm.
And Austin Wells was very funny. He made a joke and was like, we called for a walk. If we changed our mind, are we even allowed to say that? We were just kidding. No walk.
Right.
It made me chuckle.
Right, right.
So it's kind of the same thing. Like if William Contreras, and I think it was he who did it, initially said, hey, let's walk him. And then let's say the pitcher at the time, and at the time, who was pitching that inning? Joel Piamps. If Piamps and Murphy are like, no, we want to face him.
Right.
Like, can you overrule that? So to me, that issue had nothing to do with Lindor. I don't think Lindor is thinking to himself, I don't want a bat. I think he's thinking to himself, hey, if they're going to put me on, I trust Jose Iglesias. He's been one of the best two-out runner and scoring position hitters in baseball.
No doubt.
That's what I think it came down to. We'll get back to your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. Plus, this manager made some very, very, very questionable decisions that also contributed to last night's loss. We'll also look ahead to tonight. The Yankees know who they're playing in the first round, and we got a lot of football to get to as well. Very busy program. Evan and Tiki will actually be on TV a little bit early today. If you consume us on SNY, it'll be 3 to 5 because they got a lot of pregame festivities before the winner-take-all game 3. It is Evan and Tiki on a Thursday.